Good morning.
Good morning.
The sermon today is about sheep and shepherds. Someone told me once that when you're facing a major health crisis, or probably any crisis, you should read the Psalms from start to finish. I'm doing this for Mike Dunovan. And when I got to my favorite Psalm, the 23rd, I realized there was so much more to learn from this Psalm. Sheep and shepherding have been part of Israel's culture and history since Abraham. In the Old Testament, sheep and shepherding is mentioned over 200 times. And in the New Testament, Jesus mentions sheep and shepherding 16 times. In modern times, there is no concept that equals sheep and shepherding. We no longer live in an agricultural society. Texting, cell phones, TV, and video games, while they are everywhere, don't seem to have the same impact. Your video game's characters, death, and then a chance to play again lack so much depth compared to the shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep that using it as a lesson for life becomes ridiculous to the point of being absurd. Now I want to ask, is there anyone here who has been a shepherd? If yes, you can correct my errors later. But if you are like me, you know pretty much nothing about raising sheep. So today, I want to spend time sharing what I've learned about sheep and being a shepherd, so that when we encounter Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we can better appreciate what he is teaching us. We're going to discuss the characteristics of sheep and shepherds, and while I'm talking about sheep's characteristics, please think about human characteristics. Are we different or the same? Then think about those characteristics that you might have that might be similar to the characteristics of sheep. Then we'll look at the 23rd Psalm, hopefully with a better understanding of what is being shared to us. Sheep are not stupid. Recent studies suggest that sheep may be the fourth or fifth smartest animal after chimpanzees, elephants, dogs, and cats. A sheep's brain is much like a human brain. They can learn complex tasks, but will not do tricks. They can recognize the face of a human who cares for them and other sheep of the flock. Sheep have a long memory. If you make them mad, they seem to be able to remember what you did to them for a couple of years. While they'll eat almost anything, they prefer certain plants depending on the age of the sheep, whether it's a male or a female, or whether they are pregnant. They learn their way around mazes faster than monkeys, and you cannot confuse them once they learn their way. Rams form close bonds with other rams and will defend a weaker ram, especially against sheep from other flocks. Ewes, the female sheep, stay very organized, with the oldest female being dominant. One of the main reasons we think sheep are stupid is that we cannot drive them like cattle. For the most part, they must be led. Sheep are stubborn. They will fight the shepherd when he wants them to enter the dip tank or go someplace that will be beneficial for them, but they've not gone there before. While they are smart, it does not mean sheep act wisely. They will wander away in search of different pasture and get caught up in thorn bushes or barbed wire. Once rescued, they'll be off the next day doing the same thing. Sheep are not particularly pretty. Basically, they're dirty, smelly, and ugly. Despite what looks like skinny legs, sheep are very strong, and they can easily knock you down with a running start. And when a sheep's wool gets very thick, it topples over, and it cannot get up without help. Many animals, left alone, will scatter, but not sheep. Their natural tendency is to flock. It might be because they have no natural defense against their enemies, but they are just generally happier when they're in a group, and they want to flock. Sheep naturally follow other sheep, which can be good, but often is bad. because sheep have poor eyesight and little depth perception. So sheep will follow other sheep right off a cliff or into some other kind of danger. And the sheep are instinctively fearful of the unknown, of darkness, of strange pastures, of buildings. Sheep are aggressive towards each other as they want to set up a butting order, especially the ewes. And I won't go any farther in that one. Sheep are conservative. They like familiar places and routine, and they resist change. And finally, the sheep welcomes the shepherd, especially when they're giving birth. Let's take a look at being a shepherd for a few minutes. In the time of Abraham, shepherding was an honorable profession. As time passed, with the influence of Egypt's emphasis on farming, being a shepherd was viewed as one of the lowest professions. And like tax collectors, shepherds were considered sinners. They could not testify in court. And many people felt if you bought something from a shepherd, it must be stolen. So when Jesus says he is the good shepherd, it means there are also bad shepherds. But I get a bit ahead of myself. So what does it take to be a good shepherd? With the help of William Phillips Keller's book, A Shepherd Looks at the Psalm 23, we'll get some insight. Shepherding is hard work. It's often a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job. To gain your own flock, you must pay something. The sheep do not come free. Once you have paid for the sheep, you must mark the sheep as your own. This is traditionally done with a killing knife. And there is a unique notch cut in the sheep's ear, painful for the sheep and also for the shepherd, because he does not want his sheep to be hurt. A shepherd must provide food for his flock. Left alone, sheep will eat a pasture bare, destroying its usefulness. If there's not enough food of the right type, sheep will never rest. They will constantly be on the move looking for food. The shepherd must find sources of water. It may be dew on green grass, or it may be clean, slow-moving water. And the sheep must provide salt and other minerals to keep the sheep healthy. There are certain plants that will make a sheep sick or even kill them. A shepherd must clear the pastures of these plants, often pulling them up by hand, which is a long, labor-intensive effort. The good shepherd checks his flock every morning and several times during the day. Has the flock been molested by wild animals? Are there any sheep that are sick? Are they all accounted for? Or did old brown face or floppy ear go wandering off again? Has the oldest ewe gotten ornery and is pushing around the young lamb? What about those nasal flies, bot flies, warble flies, and ticks? These parasites drive sheep to distraction, causing them to stomp their feet, shake their heads, and make them so upset that they cannot rest. The shepherd must treat the sheep, dipping them, putting oil or salve on the sheep to ease their torment. He must look for cast or cast down sheep, ones who have fallen over, and right them, or they spend their time with their legs flaying, occasionally bleeding for help, but just slashing about until they die. Once a cast sheep is found and it's turned over, it does not hop up and run away. It will often stagger, unable to stand. The good shepherd will talk softly, holding the sheep upright. Gradually, over considerable time, the cast sheep will regain its strength and equilibrium and be able to rejoin the flock. The more wool a sheep is carrying, the greater the risk of being cast. Sometimes the ewes become cast because they're just too fat and do not have enough muscle to keep them upright. The good shepherd protects the sheep against predators. Coyotes, wolves, cougars, they come in the night and kill sheep, and the next morning there is no sign of the attack at all. except dead sheep. In the area of greatest danger, he may have to pull an all-nighter to protect his flock. I think we can see many similarities between sheep and our behavior. But let's look at the 23rd Psalm and verse in John 10. You'll remember that we looked at these verses a couple weeks ago. In John 10, verse 14, Jesus tells us, "I am the good shepherd." And as I said earlier, if Jesus needed to tell us that he is the good shepherd, it means there's a bad shepherd. The word good here is used as the one true shepherd, the one true way to God. And the word bad signifies a false teacher or a false way to happiness, not necessarily a bad person. I would suggest that anyone or anything that we rely on other than Jesus can easily become a bad shepherd. Just like sheep that wander away or sheep following a troublemaking sheep, we too are willing to follow a bad shepherd. We need to keep ourselves close to our good shepherd. That good shepherd is only Jesus. No man or woman or thing can take his place. Jesus the shepherd and is the only shepherd. I may be incorrect, but I believe that Jesus never referred to his disciples as good shepherds. He told them to feed his people, but he reserved the title of the good shepherd for himself. So knowing that Jesus is our true and only good shepherd, let's look at the 23rd Psalm in a bit more detail. I grew up, as many of you did, reading the Psalm from the King James Version, so today we're going to use this translation. Now this Psalm is quite short, only 6 verses, but it is the most popular and most read of all Psalms. I would like you to join me in using a small amount of creativity. I want to suggest that David may have written this psalm from the viewpoint of a sheep. Now we have spent some time looking at how sheep act, i.e. us, and what a good shepherd does. Let's look at this psalm as if we were the sheep talking to the shepherd. As an aside, in case you didn't get it, I'm suggesting that humans, we act like sheep, but I digress again. So the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The sheep are declaring who is their shepherd. They, like us, belong to the Lord. This is not ambiguous. It is declarative. I am part of this group. We know how sheep are purchased, and accordingly we have been purchased, saved through the death of our Savior Jesus. It cost him his life to purchase us. And we, like all sheep, should show his mark, not on our ears, but in how we live, how we treat each other and those around us. We can proudly state that the Lord Jesus is our owner, our manager. Now the sheep not only proudly state who their owner and their manager is, but they know how the good shepherd will treat them. I shall not want. We use the word want as meaning that the Lord will provide things that we need, but there's also a meaning of contentment. Under the care of Jesus, we have the opportunity to live a life of peace, not craving, wishing our life was different. It does not mean that we get everything, that there will be no difficulties, hardships, illnesses, or financial difficulties. It means that under the care of our shepherd, we have the opportunity to know that our shepherd, the Lord Jesus, will and can give us peace. When we compare ourselves to the sheep under the care of a good shepherd, we see that the good shepherd does everything to provide food, water, safety, and thereby protecting his sheep. The second verse, "He maketh me lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters." So, when do sheep lie down? Sheep need 4 things to be willing to lie down. Because sheep are so timid, they need to be free of all fear. Because of the social nature of the flock, they must be free of friction within the flock. They must be free of flies or parasites, and they must not need to find food. Restless, discontented, agitated, and disturbed sheep will not lie down. If you have any of these items in your life, are you at rest, at peace? The more we rely on ourselves, the more we are jealous of others, their successes, their position, the more we can be agitated and we're not at peace. If we are susceptible to our fears, discontentments, agitations, and concerns, we will not be relying on our good shepherd. When the old ewe is agitating the flock, asserting her budding rights, the mere presence of the shepherd will change her behavior and calm them all. The more we rely on Jesus, the more he will make us lie down in the pace. If something is, quote, bugging us, we need to give it up. And to get to green pastures, we can only give up the rocky soil that the word does not grow in and replace it with the fertile soil of a heart that is open to the word, so our mind is filled with the goodness of the word of Jesus. Sheep need water to live, but remember they are timid and also smart, but they don't act wisely. When sheep are thirsty, they go on a hunt for water. They want water now and will drink any water, even water that's dirty and filled with parasites, filled with life-threatening diseases. They're afraid of fast-flowing water and need quiet pools to be safe. Are we any different? We are told that we're thirsty for meaning in our lives, for righteousness. Left to our own devices, like sheep, we'll drink of dirty, worthless, polluted waters. We chase after unimportant things, turn to alcohol or drugs, and follow bad shepherds which spread lies. Only through the Word can we find the clean, clear, deep waters that satisfy our souls. A shepherd knows where the new grass and the heavy dew is located, where the still waters are, and will rise early to be ready to lead his sheep to the proper place for water. We too can rise early to spend time in prayer and the Word. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember the cast sheep? The one who fell over? Who had too much wool or was too fat? They need to be restored, to be brought back up on their feet. Does it happen instantly? No, the shepherd needs to spend time holding the sheep, talking softly, caring for the sheep as it regains its strength and footing. Like sheep, we can be cast. We can just fall over or fall into temptation. We can have too much wool. Wool is used in the Bible to signify those who are too full of themselves. Or we can have it so easy that we think we deserve the good life. We get too fat. Jesus came as the good shepherd to hold us up, to restore us. So as Psalm 56:13 says, "You have delivered me from death and my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Sheep will ruin a pasture by overgrazing and walking the same path over and over, blindly following each other into trouble. They lay down in the same spot, wearing the ground bare, allowing parasites to flourish. The best action of a good shepherd is to keep them on the move. It keeps the sheep healthy, and the shepherd is known for one who is caring for his sheep. We, like sheep, need to be led. I don't know about you, but I continue to repeat my sins, and I have a difficult time changing my behavior. I can even come up with the most creative excuses known to mankind. Yet Jesus gives us the true message. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the good shepherd. If we are willing to be led, he will lead us to the Father. Verse 4 tells us about our trials and tribulations. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Once again, like verse 1, it is personal. The sheep is talking about his specific relationship with his shepherd. I walk. I will fear no evil. You are with me. The sheep have an intimate relationship with their shepherd, as we should have with our shepherd. We all want to get to a higher place, to the mountaintop. Jesus is telling us, with him, we will get there. Note, the psalm says that we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not that we will die in the valley. We all have a difficult times, the shadows in the valley, but Jesus promises to get us through, and if we trust him, we need not fear evil. The shepherd knows that in the summer, the high mountains and the valleys are the only place for the sheep to find good pasture. He must take them higher. And to do so, the best way is through the valleys, which despite cougars, rifts of storms, rock slides, are still the best way, Jesus knows, to get the sheep to the good pasture. Jesus knows that our lives have similar risks, but he tells us, fear not, as I am with you. The rod was a weapon that the shepherd could throw with great accuracy to defend the sheep against a predator and also correct the sheep. And the staff was used to rescue sheep caught in brambles or a lamb needing to be reunited with its mother. The shepherd uses the staff to examine the sheep to check their health. Sometimes the shepherd will walk beside a sheep holding his staff against the sheep so they stay connected in order to comfort the sheep. The sheep knew that the shepherd carried the rod and the staff and would use them to care for them. Likewise, we need to remember that our good shepherd will care and protect us. He has sent the Holy Spirit so we stay connected to him. We're drawing to a close. Verse 5 says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. The shepherd is now in the high pastures, a mesa, which is another word for table. The shepherd will go on the mesa in early spring to prepare for the summertime pasturing. He'll clean the water holes of debris and bring salt and other minerals to assure the health of the flock. He will clear the poisonous weeds. He cannot prevent weeds growing back, predators, etc., but he is with the flock. He carries oils and other salves to put on the head of the sheep, so the flies and parasites do not drive the flock crazy. The shepherd needs to put this oil on the sheep's head more than once in order to protect it. Our good shepherd has come for us and has prepared a table not only on earth, but in heaven. He is here for us to anoint our head so that we can overcome the flies of our lives. We are anointed through the reading of the word. Sheep, despite their thick wool, are viewed as thin-skinned. In case of sudden storms, rain, sleet, snow, sheep are very vulnerable to sudden drops in body temperature, which can be life-threatening. Modern-day shepherds carry small flasks of brandy and water to administer frozen sheep, and speculation suggests that shepherds in Palestine may have shared their wine. It is not too much of a stretch to see the blood of Jesus, his ultimate gift of sacrifice, the overflowing cup of salvation being portrayed in this psalm. Now we come to the end. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We again see the personal nature of the sheep's claim, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. A simple way to look at this passage is, I can boast that I belong to this specific shepherd. As a sheep, I cannot ask for a better team to be on. As Christians, we too can make this boast. Jesus paid the price for us. He laid down his life for his sheep, and we can now know with certainty that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave, for presenting to us the Word of God. Our proper response to hearing the Word preached is to act upon the Word preached. And we are invited, yea, we are summoned to come to the table that is prepared. Whatever the enemy is, the flies, the situation, you are called by the great shepherd to come to the table that he has prepared. The beautiful thing is, David so well outlined for us, is that he's not only the shepherd, but he's the lamb. So the table he provides is himself. For he lays down his life for the sheep. On that night in which our shepherd became our lamb, with his early disciples, he took bread, and having given thanks, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body. It is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and having given thanks, he blessed it and distributed it and said, "This is my blood, blood that is shed and shared with you, the blood of the new covenant for the full forgiveness and remission of sins. Drink ye all of it. For as often as you eat this body and drink this blood, you truly commune with the shepherd who became the lamb." We thank you, O Lord, for being our host. This is your house. This is your table. This is your body and blood. It is all about you. Therefore, we have no wants. We have no why. We are in Christ, our hope of glory. Now we come and receive you. Thank you for this table.